Week 6. Confident Faith. I shall rise. In their commentary, Mick Comiskey and Longman III say this about the last chapter of Micah. Like a day that begins with a dark, foreboding sky, but ends in golden sunlight, this chapter begins in an atmosphere of gloom and ends in one of the greatest statements of hope in the entire Old Testament. Mick Comiskey and Longman III, Expositor's Bible Commentary. Bitter tears and shouts of hallelujah one last time. The judgment of God is sobering, and the goodness of God is overwhelming. I am drawn to pray as I sit here, but I can't find the words to say. Perhaps the best thing is just to wade into it together. This last chapter is a real triumph of faith, but it began with Micah's looking around with his prophetic eyes to see the destruction that was coming because of the persistent sins of God's people. Micah likened the feeling of living in that day to the hard disappointment of a poor harvest when the outlook for the whole year was compromised with hunger and poverty to come. The people who followed after God were nowhere to be found. There was a famine of faith in the land. Micah said, "The godly has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among mankind. They lie in wait for blood, and each hunts the other with a net. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright of them a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman, of your punishment, has come." Micah 7, 2 and 4. It was actually dangerous to live among these people. Micah described the days to come as a picture of family and community breakdown. It would be a total collapse from the inside with no one to trust for help. Quote, "A man's enemies are the men of his own house." Micah 7, 6. They couldn't trust their spouse, their kids, their friends, their neighbors. No one. Everyone had collapsed upon the sinful self. That sounds terrible. Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, quote, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand," close quote. The southern kingdom had become completely unstable. The societal foundations were crumbling, and the judgment of God was at hand. But Micah shifted his prophetic gaze in another direction, and did so with a confident smile. He was not worried for himself or for the faithful remnant that would remain by God's grace. How was that possible in light of the judgment he knew was coming? One word: relationship. Micah walked with God and knew him through a personal relationship by faith. That changed everything. In the midst of it all, knowing that he would have to live through the wrath of God that was coming on the land, Micah said, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Micah 7, 7. Micah said plainly, "I'm not sure what you all are going to do when the bottom drops out and there's no place to hide, but as for me, I'm not seeing things the way you are. My eyes are not looking to the world around me. I will wait confidently for my God, who will hear me and save me according to his steadfast love." Wow. Those three words, I will wait. Without complete trust in God on every level, those words are hard. Micah's unshakable faith in the God of his salvation did not come by accident. It was not a disregard for reality or a pie-in-the-sky mentality that he had. It was a deep-seated confidence in the character of God, because Micah knew his character through a personal walk with him. That is the difference. The hope of Micah was not based on his own work or on the conditions of the world around him. He did not run from God when things got difficult before, and he won't run now. Not because Micah was a great man. It's only because God is a great God who hears and saves. Micah's kind of hope comes through fire and faith, through testing and perseverance with God's help. Hope like that does not disappoint or put us to shame, Romans 5:5. Staring down the throat of tragic events to come that God revealed to Micah, our amazing prophet said boldly, "Rejoice not over me, my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." Micah 7:8. Wow! What an amazing expression of faith in God. Kenneth L. Barker and Wayland Bailey noted that this section of Micah reads like a psalm of trust in the Bible. In psalms of trust, the quality of trust is highlighted because faith shines through the darkness of danger and distressing situations. Micah expresses his and the righteous remnant's trust in their incomparable and faithful God during Judah's and Jerusalem's darkest hour. Barker and Bailey, Micah. A bold response. It can be so hard to trust God like that when things get rough. We use phrases like staying positive or choosing the good to talk about how we are surviving hard times, but I don't think that's the same thing as trust. The valley of the shadow of death is real. Our response to God while walking through it should be just as real. To, quote, "fear no evil because God is with us," Psalm 23, is not choosing the good. It is putting our trust in God, who alone can make the difference. It is a bold response in times when fear can be all around. To trust in God in dark days is a strong, genuine response for followers of Christ, no matter the situation. Look at what author Abraham Joshua Heschel says. "Among many of the great insights Micah has bequeathed to us is how to accept and bear the anger of God. The strength of acceptance comes from the awareness that we have sinned against him and from the certainty that anger does not mean God's abandonment of man forever. His anger passes. His faithfulness goes on forever." Heschel, the prophets. Micah made no excuses for sinful rebellion. Look at this. "I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him." Micah 7:9. Micah did not count himself better than those around him, but knew that he was a sinner dependent upon God's gracious forgiveness like everyone else. He did not run from God in times of great trial. He ran to God. When what we have done shatters the foundation of our lives and family, and when there is nowhere else to go but to God, we can still be tempted to run from Him. We can sense the ruin that is coming somehow and stare right into the face of bitter consequence and still not bow the knee in confessing our brokenness before God. I will bear it, says Micah, because in God's transforming grace, quote, when I fall, I shall rise, close quote. He trusted in God to raise him up. He will bring me out into the light. I shall look upon his vindication. Micah 7:9. The times didn't have to be good for Micah to praise God and faithfully serve him. Now that is worth repeating. He did this because he knew he had experienced God's character. Remember that portion of Exodus 34 that we've seen over and over in the Minor Prophets, where God revealed his character to Moses and the people. Guess what? Micah quotes it too. But first, he had a little fun. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? For the remnant of his inheritance, he does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. Micah 7:18. Micah's full name literally means, who is God like the Lord? He started this last passage by kind of stating his own name, who is a God like you? But Micah answered that question with the familiar Exodus 34 statements about God's character. These weren't just nice little things to say about God that he found in a greeting card. These statements are what Micah knew God to be like by walking with him every day. In the good and the bad, Micah knew God to be the way he revealed himself in pardoning iniquity, being slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Micah could look at the future, even though the immediate days might bring terrible trial, because he trusted God to redeem and restore his faithful remnant. The bright promises that God told Micah were not all for his own day either. Some were for a future far beyond his own time. He delighted in them anyway. He saw the faithfulness of God in his own day and in ours as well when he declared, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Micah 7:20. Micah's perspective is a God-sized one. He knew God had been a promise keeper in the past and would be forever. In Jesus, the promised Messiah, we see the forgiveness of God in full. All our sins are cast into the depths of the sea, as it were, and that they are removed from us by the cleansing blood of Jesus, who gave himself on our behalf, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us back to God. See 1 Peter 3:18. Micah and so many other prophets looked forward to the sacrificial work of Jesus and to his glorious return when he will set all things right. We can look with hope into the future as Micah did, knowing that God is faithful. Quote, what he said, that will he do. Numbers 23:19. And his work on our behalf in Christ has been for our good, our salvation, and eternal life with him. Truly, in Christ, we shall rise. Not even death has a hold on the believer in Jesus. Though we fall, yet we shall rise in Christ, who is our confident hope and life. This is a present truth as well as an eternal one in Him. The skies in Micah are bright indeed. No wrong answers, discussion questions. Number one, even if the world around us collapses under the weight of its sinful structure, and if the church stumbles because it has taken its eyes off Jesus in favor of worldly acceptance, the believer in Jesus can face the future with a smile, just as Micah did. What does waiting confidently for the Lord mean for us today as Christians? How do you live out confident faith? Number two, what is that confident hope based on? Number three, does it feel strange to speak the confident words of Micah to, quote, "Rejoice not over me, my enemy, though I fall, yet I shall rise," close quote, in difficult times? What kinds of everyday things challenge your confident faith the most?